AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
With player salaries, Saudi investment and commercial licensing, the Premier League deals with an astronomical amount of revenue every year. But even still, it's continuing to grow. Premier League TV rights and commercial revenue for the 2025 to 28 cycle have increased by 17% thanks to massive overseas deals expected to generate over £12 billion. That's 13.6 billion euro. Recently, Premier League clubs have agreed a new set of financial regulation to replace the divisive profit and sustainability rules, PSR, with a new squad cost ratio system. Now, it all seems very, very confusing, but the man to explain it all is on the line, a lecturer in football finance at the University of Liverpool, Kieran Maguire. Kieran, good morning and welcome.
Thank you very much. Looking forward to this.
Now, first of all, tell us what the existing system is and how it works.
Well, under the present Premier League system, clubs are allowed to lose 105 million sterling. So that's probably around about 115 million euro over a rolling 3-year period. But they've then got allowances. So if you spend money on infrastructure, if you spend money on your academy, your women's team, your community outreach schemes, all those costs are excluded.
And okay. Are these the rules that Man City fell foul of?
Well, potentially, yes. We're still awaiting. We're now 12 months since the hearing into Manchester City's 115 alleged offences are being assessed, and we will find out that outcome. And if they have been guilty of those issues, then they will have exceeded the 105 million, and they'll get a fairly severe penalty, I would suspect.
Now, the problem is a bit like Donald Trump's tariffs. If you try to reverse them, it becomes very complicated. You know, you've got to strip titles from people, the divvy of the funds paid out by the Premier League to the constituent clubs. All of those things would have to change. So I'm not sure if they'll want to disentangle that mess.
Well, I don't think they will necessarily take the titles away, though I would imagine that the fans of Arsenal and Liverpool, who would have been denied titles during that period, that they will be selling asterisks by the dozen, if not the thousand, as far as the legitimacy of those particular titles are concerned. What I do expect, however, is that if Manchester City lose the case, and it has to be said, City are very confident of winning it, by the way, but if Manchester City lose it, expect a series of legal claims for some form of financial compensation for clubs who've been denied trophies, been denied access to the Champions League and so on. So the lawyers will be having a field day.
So that's the appalling vista that perhaps they don't want to visit. But you'd imagine the law should be the law should be the law. That's not always necessarily the case in the political arena that is professional football. So that's what is there and will continue for the current season. What is proposed?
Well, what the Premier League are going to introduce from the start of next season, and this is replicating what we now have in Europe under the latest set of UEFA rules, is that instead of looking at things through a profit perspective, instead you take all of the money that's generated by the club from ticket sales, from the broadcast deals, from the front of shirt sponsorship deals and so on, you lob in your player sale profits and you say, right, that's our first number, and you can spend no more than 85% of that on your player costs and your agent costs. So it's very much focused on it's a sort of wage cap, but it's not quite a wage cap. And the aim is to allow clubs to invest in players, but to not go too far.
Okay, so it means that the most successful clubs, the ones with the biggest stadiums, for example, the ones who sell the most shirts, and so on and so forth, they will still end up with as being the clubs with the most money.
That's right, and that's why some clubs opposed it. It only just scraped through this particular new piece of legislation. You need a two-thirds majority in the Premier League to change the rules, and the vote was 14-6 in favour, so it just sneaked through. You can understand why some clubs are opposed, because if you take one of the big brands, the likes of the Manchester clubs or Liverpool, they're generating around about €800 million a year. 85% of that is what, 680 million euro. You've got a club that wants to be as big as Manchester United or Liverpool, as according to the owners. So if you take a club such as Newcastle, they have revenue of, let's say, €300 million. 85% of that is what, 255. All of a sudden, they've got a huge gap in what they can spend investing in players.
And the problem then is, even if they have a well-heeled owner from the Gulf States, they can't spend the money that well-heeled owner has because of these rules. It all depends on the profit they make.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
That's right, and I think that's caused a lot of frustration amongst the fans of some clubs, because they feel that they're on the wrong side of history. If you take a look at the success of Chelsea and Manchester City in particular, that was very much on the back of new owners coming in the shape of Abramovich and Mansour, who effectively gave the owners, gave the manager an unlimited budget. Well, you can't do that anymore because of these rules.
There was another proposal called top-to-bottom anchoring, which is a perplexing phrase, but perhaps you can explain what it was and why it didn't get the go-ahead.
Yes, this was an even more weird wage cap. The way that it worked was that you take the broadcast money, which is generated by the club finishing bottom of the Premier League. So that's probably around about €130 million. You multiply that by five. Nobody knows why they chose the number five, but they just did. So that gave us a figure of €650 million. And then every club in the Premier League could spend up to that €650 million on player costs. But that was quite significantly defeated. There was only about seven clubs in favour of it, and I think 12 voted against, and Burnley abstained.
And the reason for voting against this, was this I feel like a player's charter, that knowing the kind of money that might be available, the players could make ridiculous demands on the clubs?
Well, actually, the reverse. It was the players' union and also the agents who are threatening to sue the Premier League, because they say that they need some form of round table agreement before it was imposed. But I believe Manchester United were opposed to it, and you can understand it from their point of view, because the cap is only linked to broadcast income. What's the point of building a new 100,000-seater capacity stadium at Old Trafford if all of the money from ticket sales is ignored for the purposes of what you can invest in players? So both Manchester clubs were opposed to it, along with many others.
So this new system, it will ensure that the rich get richer. That's the downside of this for the clubs who really want to break into the top six or the top 10 in the Premier League.
That's right. We've got the so-called Big Six, the clubs who were in favour of Super League a few years ago. It very much reinforces their position. And those clubs who you might want to describe as ambitious or aspirational in terms of the desires of the owners, who have got unlimited amounts of cash. I'd certainly include Newcastle United because they're owned by Saudi. You've got Aston Villa, who owned by the richest man in Egypt, as well as an American billionaire. I think they are frustrated because their view is it's our money. Surely it's up to us how we choose to spend it, but they're now being prevented from doing so.
Now, finally, we should maybe look at the way the Premier League money is divvied among the clubs. You'd expect that the team to top the Premier League would get the most out of the pot, and then those at the bottom who are now going to drop to the Championship, that they would get the least amount of money with a little bonus to help them recover from their drop.
That's right. It is quite democratic in the Premier League. Half of the money is split evenly. A quarter is split depending on how popular you are with the TV companies. And the final quarter is divvied up upon the place that you finish. And it works out as around about 4 million per euro, the difference between 15th and 14th and 8th and 7th. And the logic behind that is it means that every match matters, even going into the final round. And that is probably more democratic than most of the European leagues that we see.
So it would explain, for example, that Manchester United, having had a dismal season last year, avoiding the drop just about, which would have been a first for Manchester United in many years. But because there was such curiosity about the qualities and abilities of the new manager and the chopping and changing of the team, they were seen a lot on telly. And therefore, they got a proportionate amount of money for those appearances.
That's right. I mean, Manchester United is box office. It's a soap opera masquerading as a football club in many ways. And as such, I think they were on the TV 28 times domestically, and compared to clubs that had finished above them, the likes of, say, Crystal Palace or Bournemouth, who would have been on probably about 12 or 13 times. Manchester United delivers eyeballs. And of course, that's what the broadcasters want.
I suppose we should look at what the punter has to pay. And if you want to see every match, you're going to have to subscribe to Premier, to TNT, as well as to Sky, which makes it quite onerous on the punter who wants to make sure they see every match that their team plays. Is there any kind of rebellion, even in Parliament, about this, that there should be one provider and, every year or every 3 years they have an auction and let the best company win?
Well, there's actually the opposite as far as the UK government is concerned. There's been a fear that because of the popularity of the Premier League rights, that they didn't want one broadcaster to have a monopoly position, because that would create a barrier to entry to prevent anybody else even building up the weight of money to try to compete. So it really does act against the punter, because you now need three or four subscriptions, and it looks like we're going to have more subscriptions now required for the Champions League. Rightly or wrongly, this has led, of course, to the spread of piracy, where you can have that one-size-fits-all solution, but of course it's illegal.
That's what we call the dodgy box here. I'm not sure what they call it in Liverpool. What about the streamers? Are they going to make incursions into the Premier League? The Netflix, Amazon Prime or Disney or whoever?
Well, Netflix did, by all accounts, try to bid for the Champions League rights starting from, I think, next season, and they were slightly outbid by Paramount. There's now talk about Netflix potentially going for the Premier League rights in 2028-2029. Amazon do get one pick each Champions League round, and I think that's proving to be quite successful, because your Amazon Prime subscription is reasonably priced compared to the full sports, so that has worked. So, and there's even talk about the Premier League taking the rights in-house themselves and selling them direct to the punter, but that of course comes with risk, and we'll await to see developments there.
We certainly will look to those developments with great interest. Kieran Maguire, lecturer in football finance at the University of Liverpool. Kieran, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Well, now what?
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.